Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Viktor Frankl said, "Don't aim at success. The more you aim at it and make it a target, the more you're going to miss it." For success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue. And it only does so as the unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a cause greater than oneself, or as the byproduct of one's surrender to a person other than oneself. Happiness must happen. And the same holds for success. You have to let it happen by not caring about it. I want you to listen to what your conscience commands you to do and go on to carry it out to the best of your knowledge. Then you will live to see in the long run. In the long run, I say, success will follow you precisely because you had forgotten to think about it. So that was Viktor Frankl out of his book, Man's Search for Meaning. And if you're interested in the work of Viktor Frankl, or even just having really quality conversations with people about work that matters, Danielle and I are running the second cohort of our book club. It's literally pay what you want. So we wanted to make this so that anybody could join. And that's kicking off at the end of January. So I'll put a link in the bio of this episode. And I'll tell you, the first book we did was 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. And now we're going to do Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And one thing that's interesting is I'm noticing the reason I'm drawn to books like this is because I spent so much time in the growth world, and not everybody talks to you as if you have a soul, right? And so what that means is a lot of growth work out in the world today is actually more like ego inflation work. And I think that's okay. I think that there's a time for that. I remember being really depressed and I started writing my second book and it didn't turn out anything like I had originally started writing it to be. But interestingly enough, it helped me as I was working on this book to inflate my own ego and pull me out of the depth of despair. And so I do believe that there is a place for ego inflation. But then there's also a place, to my mind, or at least in my journey, where I hit a limit. It was like, okay, now what? Surely there's a world beyond myself. And so I've been gravitating to people that talk to me like there is. And I find, again, that peace and contentment are just to be found in those places. Anyway, so I will link that up in the show notes of this episode. So I'm doing this series on the reality of transformation. And I'm going to try to do something interesting with this. And I hope I can articulate it well and you can go with me here. But I'm breaking down the phases, right? So I think it helps to just see phases and be like, oh, okay, that's where I'm at in the phase. That's why I wrote my book based on the hero's journey, because it was like, oh, okay, so I'm actually in the underworld right now. I'm not in hell and it's not forever. It's a phase of this journey that I'm in. And so it's really helpful to understand when you're transforming, maybe voluntarily, or maybe you're being thrust into transformational work or change management. When that happens, I find it helpful to see the phases out. Well, what I'm going to try to do in between the phases, like today's episode, is talk about, well, what's happening below the surface? Like, what's happening in the psyche when that phase is happening? And so yesterday, we talked about cognitive dissonance, right? And the idea that dissonance will start to ensue in your life. And often you don't really know why, and you don't know where you're headed, but you know that the coping mechanisms you've used in the past and the things you've done in the past aren't working for you. What I would say is happening is that your soul is searching for truth, right? And I mean that in a way of like, it's searching for the ground of reality. okay, you're being told all of these different things, like success metrics matter and this matters, and you get those things. And sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. But eventually what happens is the deepest parts of you want to know the truth about who you are, why you're here, what you're doing with your life. Carl Jung in his work called this the telos, which is like your almost your soul's individual journey while on earth, something like that. Like your soul has a path. And so if you are entrenched in all of these worlds that aren't for you, even if they're cool, even if you like them, the dissonance will start to occur because the soul starts to nudge your conscious experience of the world. And so you start to feel like, okay, well, this isn't, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. What the hell is happening? Well, often what's happening is like, yeah, you're thirsting for truth. Now, truth is hard for humans to understand anyway. The reason is because we have a very limited perspective, right? It's the way our awareness in the world works. Because whatever you're aware of, you are simultaneously not aware of the whole entire rest of the world, or you could say the whole entire rest of the cosmos, right? And so there's far more that's happening outside of what you know about than what you do know about, which is why your focus, your attention is so important and valuable. And also why social media platforms and marketers spend billions of dollars to capitalize on your attention. Because if they have your attention, they've got your whole world. Because that's how human awareness works. There is, of course, a whole other world, but you just don't know about it. Well, because of that, it makes actually finding ultimate truth very difficult for us, right? Because you have a certain view from your point, and then you move to another point, and then you have a different view. And so your point of view changes as you evolve. And so oftentimes when we're really closed-minded or we are really not understanding of other people making their way in the world, what's happening is we're mistaking our truth for ultimate truth. And those two things are almost never related. I sat down to write a book about truth, I guess it's a couple years ago, and I tried cracking at this thing from every which way, and I was just getting mired and lost in philosophy. It's very difficult for someone, anyone, who has a limited awareness to understand truth. One of the things that the wisdom texts tell you, well, this is something that the Bible puts forward, for example, is they say, like, sometimes we equate morals with religion. We don't really know why in our modern world where we are taken away from our mythic structure. Like, we don't necessarily get why that is. And the reason being is because what the Bible puts forward is this idea that you can live your life in a certain way, and doing so makes you able to perceive what's actually true about the world. So think about it this way. Think about some kind of negative pattern that you have. Maybe you, mine is shame. We'll just go with that. Like, I'll shame the hell out of myself, right? I'll really, really get down on myself. And when I start to do that, it doesn't get better. It spirals downward, right? And I get more negative toward myself. Well, think about when you're spiraling in one of your sort of negative patterns. Can you see truth in that point, right? Someone comes up to you and they're like, hey, you're a human being and you're worthy and you're love, and you're thinking, you're nuts. That's not true at all. And the reason being, because the way that you live makes it whether or not you can actually even pick up on truth. And so that's something worth understanding too. It's like the way that we live, the way we treat our bodies, the nutrition that we take, how much sleep we get, the way we talk to ourselves, our internal monologue, all of those things create the environment we're in. And that makes it whether or not we can perceive truth. And the reason I say that is because if this dissonance is starting to happen for you, if you're in this phase where you're like, old ways aren't working like you'd hope they were or they used to, what might need to happen is for you to clean yourself up a bit, you know? And I mean that with as much grace as I can extend forward, because life is tough and we all spiral and there's no getting around that. But when you're spiraling, you also have to understand, I don't really know what's true here. Same thing for when you're using all of these different coping mechanisms and they're starting not to work. It's like you're getting instant feedback. And so the answer is not to double down on your escape mechanisms, on what numbs you out so that you don't have to experience it, because that will just trash your soul over the long term. You know, it's funny because Socrates, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Socratic method. I'm sure you have. The idea is, in a nutshell, is that when you're talking to someone, what you do is you phrase what you think that they said back to them, and so that they can say, is that what you really meant? And then the, like, oh no. And so they change it a little bit and you phrase it back to them. And what happens is through that dialogue, that circular dialogue, you eventually get to what they really mean. One thing that I've noticed is that most people in the world today have very vague, undefined ideas about who they are, what they're doing here, what their life's about, what is true for them. Instead, it's more moment to moment. It's more gratification to gratification, hopping from experience to experience. And if you use that Socratic method on people that are very vague and have undefined ideas about who they are and what they want, they'll get pissed. Because it's like holding up a mirror to someone who's lost. Even though they have all of these coping mechanisms and survival mechanisms, you might say, which make it so that when they look at the world, they're looking through a bias. So they're not always seeing how lost they are. And that's why sometimes, right, you see people, they're like in relationships that are miserable, and you're like, everyone knows you're miserable. And they're like, I'm not miserable. Or I'm not going to leave him, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, yeah, because you're looking through your own bias and you can't see how lost you are. And so when you feel that dissonance, you are being nudged from the depth of who you are, that something is off. You're not on the plan. You're not heading toward the telos. This isn't truth for you, even if that's painful to face. You know, a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today is how, well, even when it's painful to face, it doesn't make it less true. And that's something worth understanding about truth in general. It's not always going to taste good, but that doesn't mean that it should be ran from or repressed. Right? It's still what's true. And when you're getting these nudges and you're falling into dissonance, what's happening is that your soul is telling you that you are not on your path to truth. All right. Love you guys. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.